Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
God is on the hook by a lot of people say, well, if God is all powerful, he can't be all good or he'd eliminate evil. Remember that? A lot of people put God on the hook about that. The cross really is the answer for that. Jesus is the answer for that. But this doesn't get God off the hook. Oh, yes, it does, because in the cross, God is the hook. In him, we have justice and we have love. Sorrow and love flow healing down. There is the forgiveness. There is the grace. There is the victory over evil. It's at the cross. Now, I have in my pocket this cross. Maybe you've seen them before. They're wooden crosses. Some call them different names. I like it.
The truth is, Jesus has given you the power to overcome evil with good. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, The Ultimate Weapon, and gives you practical biblical advice for how you can overcome evil through what Jesus Christ has already accomplished on the cross. That message is coming up in a moment. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Ultimate Weapon, Part 2.
Did you read what is happening in Lincoln, Nebraska? You know, I couldn't make this up. When I read it, I said, oh, this must be a joke. It can't be accurate. But evidently, the superintendent of schools and the school board there said they did not want to be gender specific with the children. What is that? And they asked the parents if they wanted the boy to be called a boy or the girl to be called a girl. They were going to refer to the girls with a G word and the boy with a boy words. And they didn't have to go by either title if they did not want to do it. And they said, teachers should not say in the school system, boys and girls or girls and boys. They need to have a gender bread, like, you know, variety of a lot of things there. Oh, yeah, I can't make this up. And said, in the children, you call them purple penguins. Don't call them boys. Say, oh, you purple penguins, we're going to get up and go out. Don't call them boys and girls. Let me tell you something. That is deadly. And children are struggling with a lot of things. God help us if they have to struggle with identity as to what they are and what they are about and be so confused by this. This is a deadliness that is destroying many of our children. God, Jesus, hates that. He says, abhor evil. But then he said, not only abhor evil, but we are to cling to that which is good. And then Paul tells us what is good. That's important we know what good is, because we've already discovered that many times evil now is passed off as good, and good is passed off as evil. Have you noticed? We talked about that. And by the way, I took these verses, and I share this with you. I hesitate to, because It's so personal. I try to pray the scripture many times. You ever pray the scripture? You pray God's word into you. And you read it and you say, Lord, am I living up to that? No, that's not you. And you begin to pray, Lord, help me by your spirit. You pray the Bible. That will just really give you some moments of tears and celebration and anxiety, and you feel so unclean and unworthy. But you pray this in. This is what it looks like. He's saying, if we're to cling to what is good, this we have a different kind of heart. We have a loving heart. He says what it is. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind, in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, trouble, sickness, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. That's a test. When you look at that, they say, oh, that's nice, that's fine, that's good. No, Lord, do I measure? Do I really have a loving heart? That's what a loving heart looks like. You can figure it out. The Spirit will tell you as it's told me. You pray that in. Finally, he talks about, do we have a blessing heart? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's not profanity, by the way. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. In other words, a lot of people, we're with them and we don't feel like they're a blessing to us. We hear a, they suck the life out of you. You can't have too many of those in your repertoire of friends, by the way. But we are to be in the blessing business. I'd love to take time and put my hand on everybody's head and say, Lord, lead them. I'd love for you to put your hand on my. We're to bless. We're to lift up. We're to encourage. We're to rejoice with. Cry with those who cry. Laugh with those who laugh. We're to be a blessing. We're to have a heart that blesses. Don't you love to be around people that are blessing you genuinely? Genuinely. By the way, this is without hypocrisy. This is the bottom line of love. And then finally, we're to have a humble heart. Beginning verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. So this is talking about how we abhor evil, how we cling to that which is good. These are the kind of hearts that we have, a heart that we develop. It's not a natural heart. It's a supernatural heart we have in Christ. And then he tells us we are to be not overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. We can easily get overcome with evil, and we turn back evil for evil. How do you respond to evil? When someone abuses you, slanders you, hurts you, disappoints you, lies to you, lies about you, kicks you, deceives you, how do you respond? How do I respond with that? Let me tell you how not to respond. How not to respond is just be passive. Just you're quiet on the outside to this evil, but you're burning up on the inside. Let me tell you for a long time what I've done, and this is wrong. Little confession. When someone would really hurt, defame, slander. By the way, slander can be telling the truth in order to hurt somebody. Do you know that? It's not just lying about it. Slander can tell the truth in order to hurt somebody. When that would happen, what I would do, I'd pretend like they died. I'd say, Bill died. He doesn't bother me anymore. I'd say, we didn't know he died. Oh, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, he's died. I speak to him. He's not there. That's not the way to do it. That's not God's way, folks. A little confession. Another way is respond with violence. I'll get you back. I'm smiling, but my day will come. And then when you see God taking some vengeance, as we're going to take in their life, we say, out of way, God, get them. Get them. Get them. That's right. I know that guy hurt me too. But we be overcome by evil. But we are to be overcomers. We're overcome evil with good. And we say, well, what does that look like? Tells us right here in the scripture. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Let me tell you something. The Bible is full of nuance. There's some people you will not be at peace with. No matter how you operate on principles we're going to look at, they're just not going to be right with you. They're not going to forgive. There are a lot of people that are so narcissistic. They're so schizophrenic. They're so broken. They're so hurt themselves. They just have to be in the constant slashing business. And it says, as far as possible. See how nuanced the Bible is? See, as far as possible. Do everything you can. So what does it look like when you overcome evil with good? A great illustration of this is 1 Samuel chapter number 24. It's a great story. If you're not familiar with it, David was in hiding. They were in a cave there, Adullam, hiding from Saul, and Saul was paranoid. Said David was going to take over his throne. He was jealous of David. And so he had 3,000 of his troops out looking for David to kill him. David was hiding, and in the marching around, Saul had to make a pit stop. So he went in this cave. He didn't know David was hiding in the cave. And David was hiding there in the shadows. And as Paul didn't observe him, he came and took Saul's coat, King Saul, and just cut a little bit of it off, the coat, his cloak, and kept it. And Saul put his cloak back on, walked back out, went out. And a little while later, David went up a high mountain. And he said, "Oh, my father, great King Saul, this is your son. I honor you. Why are you pursuing me?" Et cetera, et cetera. He treated Saul with great deference and great reverence and great respect. He said, "Why are you pursuing me?" And David held up the bit of his gown and said, in other words, "I could have killed you. I was right there. You didn't even know it. Here's part of your gown." And Saul must have looked and said, oh, I didn't notice I was missing. Could you imagine? And then Saul was repentant. He said, "You're a better man than I. I'm ashamed. And come on back home, David. You're like a son to me." Now, by the way, this happened 2 or 3 times in other situations. See, Saul was, he had a problem. Schizophrenic, paranoid. I don't know. Had a problem. He was a sick man. He couldn't. But look how David did everything he could, did he not, to show that he honored and respected God's anointed. He didn't attack. And so that's how we are to respond. We're to do everything we can. Sometimes you can't do enough to bring things back together in harmony. And do that in your family. Jesus says twice, recorded in the New Testament, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek and let him slap that one as well. Now, by the way, when you slap somebody, that's not a physical attack. It's not. If you want to attack somebody, hit them in the nose and the eyes, the mouth, other places where you really want to hurt somebody. But what is a slap? It shames you. It's humiliating. It's embarrassing. It's condescending. And therefore, when someone slaps us on one cheek, how do we respond to that? Do we respond passively? Do we respond with anger? Jesus says, we're to turn the other cheek. When we don't turn the other cheek, you know what we're doing? We're saving face. Say, "Well, you slapped me on one side, but I still got this side." But we turn the other cheek, we're no longer saving face, are we? And that's the issue with a slap. It's not the bodily harm, it's we're saving face. And if we turn the other cheek, we're saying, it doesn't matter about my ego. It doesn't matter how embarrassing this is. But what's important is that you have harmed me. You have attacked me in this way to shame me. And I'm not trying to save face. I'm putting my ego to one side. Therefore, we separate, listen carefully, our enemy from what the enemy has done or said to us. Very important. Here's what the enemy has done or said. We separate that from the enemy himself, and we ask God with the power to forgive the enemy, and don't worry about saving your face. Then the Bible says, you heap coals of fire on their head. And this means you illumine them. You warn them. You deal with this. And maybe in your forgiving, you not only build a relationship again, but you're heaping coals of fire on their head, and all of a sudden you've diffused the whole situation. If you do not turn the other cheek, what happens? You are a part of the evil that has been done. They're controlling you. They still have their hooks in you. They're dominating my thinking. And we have the idea when we sit down with them, they say, remember what you did? Bang, 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 bang. We harangue them if we can. Or we go to somebody else. Let me tell you what that guy did, what he said. He owes me. Da, 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 da. We go to somebody else and we take care of that. The Bible says, God will take care of it. Vengeance is mine. He'll take care of it. But we do that. Or we keep playing it to ourselves, reminding ourselves. Let me tell you what he meant. You don't do any of that. You turn the other cheek. You get your ego out of it. And then you're very aggressive when you turn the other cheek because you take all the venom out of it, all the hatred out of it. And they say, you know, and you do good. It's so tough, folks. This is where the Christian ethic is so radically different from all other ethics. All the other ethics say vengeance, stay away, or whatever. We say go there and be a part of the healing and love them. Figure out ways you can honor them. Figure out ways you can do something for them. Let me tell you something. The next funeral in your family when all the family shows up, or the next wedding in your family when all of us had to have our picture made together, or the next holiday in your family and you go, boy, I sure hate to find my brother or my brother's wife or my sister or my cousin or that kid. You know, we go there with all this anger. Go there with the idea, man, I'm going to love. I'm going to be redemptive. I'm going to build up whatever they said, whatever they've done, my mom, my dad, whatever. Man, it'll change the whole atmosphere. But the Holy Spirit has to give you and me the power to be redemptive. And we have to be, here's the phrase, passionately, aggressively forgiving. Passionately, aggressively forgiving and redemptive. And I'll tell you what it'll do to the person that you don't like, the person that doesn't like you. It'll just knock them off balance. They won't have a way to deal with that because you have actively turn the other cheek, and you've actively begin to defeat the evil that you know is there. Say, that's easy? No, no, no. It's impossible? No, no, no. Jesus can do it, but I can't? No, no, no. It's the power of God in you and me as we overcome evil with good. That's what it is. What is the cross? It's God overcoming the garbage of the world with good. You see, God is a not way up there somewhere, off and away up there. God is a garbage collector who gets right down in the middle of your garbage and my garbage. That's what the cross is. You see, a lot of people want justice. Oh, I want justice, I'm telling you. A lot of people say, oh, no, no, I want love. I want to love everybody. See, you can't have justice without love. You can't have love without justice. We say, you know, I want to be just. I want to be right with God. You can't be declared just before God unless Jesus Christ, who is just, and he is the justifier. That's what happened on the cross. Justice was established between you and me and God on the cross. Justice was established. God's justice, God's purity, God's holiness was established by Jesus in his death on the cross. Justice was there. Also, love was demonstrated. You see, that's the miracle. Love was demonstrated how much God loved us. He sent Jesus, the garbage collector. By the way, you say, this doesn't get God off the hook. What is God on the hook about? Remember way back? God is on the hook by a lot of people say, well, if God is all powerful, he can't be all good or he'd eliminate evil. Remember that? A lot of people put God on the hook about that. The cross really is the answer for that. Jesus is the answer for that. So this doesn't get God off the hook? Oh, yes, it does, because in the cross, God is the hook. He is the hook. In him, we have justice and we have love. Sorrow and love flow healing down. There is the forgiveness. There is the grace. There is the victory over evil. It's at the cross. Now, I have in my pocket this cross. Maybe you've seen them before. They're wooden crosses. Some call them different names. I like it. I mean, I've given these to people in the hospital for a lot of years, and it just sort of fits your hand. It's a symbol of justice and love. It's a symbol of salvation. It's a symbol of healing. It's a symbol of a new life in Christ. It's a symbol that now God accepts us in his family. It is the power of the cross that enables us to not return evil for evil, but return evil for good, to turn that other cheek, to forget about saving face and think about saving that life and building that relationship. It's the power of the cross that enables us to do that, folks. At the cross where I first saw the light, and my old burdens, all the burdens, it's at the cross. Let me tell you something. I've said it before and I'll say it again. When you and I go to the foot of the cross, we don't look up there and say, I wonder how high, how tall is that cross? We don't do that. We go to the cross, we don't say, I wonder how long the arms of the cross. How many feet? How long are the arms of the cross? We don't do that. You go to the cross, you want to say, I wonder how much that cross weighs. It's pretty heavy, but the wood there, I wonder how much it weighs. We don't do that. We go to the cross. We just want to know, is that cross high enough to reach to heaven? Is that cross, the arms of that cross, are they long enough to include somebody that's has so much garbage in their life now and in the past? Is the arms long enough to include somebody like me who's been in waste management and instead of garbage elimination? Can somebody like me, full of garbage, are those arms long enough to include me? And we ask, does that cross weigh enough to tip the scales of grace and forgiveness on my behalf? See, that's personal, isn't it? At the cross.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Dr. Young is in the studio with us today to answer a question before we leave about how to respond to those who've hurt us. Dr. Young, there's no denying Jesus calls us to forgive, but is there a point where some relationships have become so toxic we need to give up on any hope of reconciliation?
Well, sometimes there's no hope of reconciliation because of toxic relationships or the other person is not interested in that. And we see this in the Bible. Jesus said, when they do not hear your word, he sent out those 70, he said, shake the dust off your feet. And we have to do that many times in relationship. We may forgive and pray for those individuals, but as far as we know, if we've done everything possible to bring about reconciliation and it was not there on their part, then we have to go and move in our own way and pray for them and move out and continue with our life. There are times in individual relationships you have to simply shake the dust off your feet and move away from this relationship or move away from this situation.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for tuning in today. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message, Evil is a Four-Letter Word, and shows you how to spot the lies evil uses to destroy people's lives.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.